This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
My car is like a
small, small, small. Small, small, small.
Whole apartment.
Here comes Hayes and Sean.
Wallpaper?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
It looks great. She tells me. It looks
hey!
What up, what up?
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements.
What up?
There's something that sort of caught our eye in this Hollywood business. This is what we talk about. We talk about Hollywood. We talk about the business.
Hollywood, the business. We talk about this industry, and the industry is changing.
Yes.
And one of the things that's made that so apparent lately is there are actually TV shows now available to you on one of these online grocery shopping sites.
Yes.
Amazon.com, you've seen these green trucks driving around town. Mm-hmm. They're not just holding day-old produce.
They're now carrying some of your favorite new comedy TV shows.
These are shows
that you can just watch. You go to www.amazon.com/product/TV/showtime/watch-TV/funny.
And just download the plugin.
Yep.
And if your software is up to date and is able to support their specific player, you can start watching part of some of their shows.
They've come out with a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm. Browsers.
Yep. The Internet Boys. But none of those are our favorites.
No, we each picked a favorite after watching all the shows. Where did we find the time? It's nice for me, actually, because I don't own a TV, so the fact that it's right there on my
phone,
computer, was nice. But I love this one show. You might have liked it, too. It's called Gamma Guys.
I loved that show.
From the online grocery store that brought you Alpha House and Betas is Gamma Guys. It's these two dudes who work at a chewing gum factory, and the pilot is they've got to come up with a new flavor by midnight or else Japan's going to pull out all their money. And so Mr. Nakahashi's on the phone, and he's trying different flavors, and he's going,
most honorable Gamma Guys, this flavor stinks.
And so then they have to come up with another flavor and another one, and his wife's nagging him, and the two guys, they bicker. But what I liked about it is underneath the fighting, mm-hmm. you can tell they're really friends. And so many shows, they forget to make people likable, and they forget to put a little bit of heart in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes TV work. Sorry, online shopping store shows, not TV.
For me, did you catch Primetime?
Ooh, I almost picked that one, I swear. Jealous.
Primetime is a show starring Wyatt Cenac as a guy who wins an Amazon Prime subscription in the lottery. And he uses it to become the first guy to kiss every book. Until the trouble begins when his mailman, played by the very underrated Alison Becker, comes along. And he actually starts falling in love with her, and he starts to wonder if kissing all the books is really the thing for him. And you talk about relatability, Sean, and for me, there was the moment in the pilot when he kissed the scary mystery book and had to hide under his bed. And a book like Frankenstein. A book like Dracula.
Ooh.
These are some of the books that even you hearing the name gives you chills. And
well,
so,
then why would you say them? Ugh. I mean, I try to be professional during the show, but I've asked you not to talk about Frankensteins anymore.
Right. How should I say it, I guess, from now on? I should say...
Mary Shelley's Monstrous Creation. I forgot to mention the cast of my show, I realize.
It's in your show?
Oh, it's the cast of Inbetweeners.
Which one?
The entire cast of the Inbetweeners plays all the characters on Gamma Guys.
Right, but there were two. There was the British one and the one with the American guys.
I don't think there was a British one.
Oh.
You know what I think you're thinking of? Scandal. Scandal was a British show called House of Cards.
So those are our favorite Amazon shows. This is a segment that we enjoy doing a lot. You open a newspaper these days, all you seem to see are these blind items and all the gossip columns and all the blogs.
Newspapers are lousy with them.
Yes. It's when they will describe a salacious event from something that has happened to some celebrity, but they don't have the guts to name who the celebrity is. So, in a way, that's why we created this podcast in the first place. Say the things that the mainstream media will not say. This is a segment called Draw the Blinds
Up,
where we read some real blind items and we draw the blinds up and tell you who the people involved are and what the scene was because we were there. And now we're going to start with a blind item from the site Crazy Days and Nights. This is sort of a Hollywood gossip site. This is a real blind item, and it goes like this. This former A++ list politician visited a film set in NYC and spent 45 minutes in a trailer with his main squeeze actress friend. Well, not main squeeze. I mean, the guy is married. No one even batted an eye that the two were spending time alone in her trailer. It was the second time he has visited the set, but the first time the trailer was rocking. Now, Sean, we were there.
We were supervising, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the sickness with these gossip lovers that they will not leave President Jimmy Carter alone? The man builds houses for people with no houses.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was doing, by the way, with that girl during the 45 minutes was fingering her.
They imply that he was having sex.
Which is, couldn't be further from the truth.
Yes. He was really just finger blasting her.
Yeah. He was giving her some deep digit loving.
Mm-hmm.
And he never once exposed himself.
Nope.
I don't even think he was fully hard. The man's a peanut farmer from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's friends with the Allman Brothers. So he's comfortable in the entertainment scene, wanted to stop by a film set. And can we not take a break anymore?
And what film set was that?
It was the set of Devil, the elevator movie that M. Night Shyamalan made.
Mm-hmm.
It was the new one that he's doing. It's the Devil Went Down to P1. It's sort of a Charlie Daniels Band thing, but it's also like the movie because they are in an elevator and a bunch of people forgot where they parked their car and Satan is moving their car.
And Jimmy Carter went to give his blessing from the state of Georgia to take this great song and change the name Georgia to P1. And if he's going to finger blast Jennifer Lawrence while he's there, who are we to say anything about it? He's the president.
So now you know.
Next, blind item. This one is from Radar Online. This reality star demanded C-star Kane from strangers at a house party during a night out of town, away from the prying eyes of his significant other. And now, we were at this party and demanded is a pretty strong word for what Jimmy Carter did. He asked for some cocaine, I thought, very respectfully.
He actually said, where to cocaine at? Which is literally, it doesn't even necessarily mean that he is going to do it.
Yes.
He may just want to know where it's located so he can avoid it. Now, as it turned out, he was chopping up big fat fucking gorilla fingers on their mirrored coffee table and schwacking them back in one shot. Like a total boss. But he didn't demand anything. It was offered freely after he determined the location.
And they call him a reality star because, like we always say, politics is like a reality show.
Well, with the 24-hour news cycle these days, everyone's under the microscope. And the way some of these guys behave, it is a reality
show.
You
might as well be on that Flavor of Love or one of those Osbournes.
You'll have to, you know, I don't own a TV. You'll have to catch me up.
And night out of town, away from the prying eyes of his significant other. I mean, he just finger blasted Jennifer Lawrence at one time. I wouldn't say that
she's
she
not
was
a significant
necessarily a significant other.
Other
just because of one finger blast. That seems a little premature. Finally, last blind item. This one is from Gawker.com. At the Aspen Comedy Festival a few years ago, this comedian invited a female comedy duo back to his hotel room. The two ladies gladly joined him and offered him some weed. He turned it down, but asked if it would be okay if he took his dick out. Thinking he was joking, the women gave a facetious thumbs up. He wasn't joking. When he actually started jerking off in front of them, the ladies decided that that wasn't their bag and made for the exit, but he used his body to block the door until he was finished.
This one they actually got right. Comedian was Aziz Ansari. The girls were Garfunkel and Oates.
That's Draw the Blinds Up. We have a great guest today. Damian Fahey is here. He was the host of Total Request Live. He's on Twitter. He's does some Hulu hosting. He's hosts a radio show. He has a lot to speak on from many different facets of the industry, and that's coming up when we come back on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So then I stand up from the couch and I move away and I go, okay.
Small, small, small. Here comes Hayes and Sean.
And they're still together.
Still right now, yeah. They're still in that room.
Hey!
Hi!
What up, what up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Exciting guest. I really do think we have a very exciting guest today. Damian Fahey is here.
Yo.
We have sort of a long history with Damian.
Mm-hmm. Damo.
Going back to, I guess, when we were on TRL.
Yeah.
2003.
That's right. When we...
you guys ushered in the new, with the rock, rave.
Comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Rock, rave, comedy.
Rock, rave, comedy.
Yes. Tom Green sort of took that, spun that off into Bum Bum Song. And
yeah, we sort of gave him that and went off to do our next thing because we're always sort of morphing our right. identity. I don't want to be pinned down. But yeah, we had that single and video that you probably remember, I Makey a Canoe. Mm-hmm. And it's like me and Hayes makey a canoe and then we sinky on the water because we didn't makey it strong enough.
And that was sort of the beginning of music.
Well, it was the beginning of music being associated with
visual
yeah, yeah. entertainment.
Yeah. That's
yes.
right. Yeah. That's right. And since then, or for a while anyway, that was like a really big deal.
People yeah. were doing it. A lot of people were making images to go with their music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Albums for a little while had covers that were some kind of visual image.
And Damian, your job when mm-hmm. you were hosting TRL, Total Request Live,
right.
was to go looking for some of the coolest videos mm-hmm. and to show them on your... on your TV show. And
yes.
That's sort of what you created
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, I mean, for. I was the culture maker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was sort of pouring the Kool-Aid in the water. So
yes.
before me, all you had was water. And that mm-hmm. was, that's not tasty. And so you put a little something in there and all of a sudden it's a craze. And so that was it. I was sort of doing that, you know, and I was...
Well, MTV had come to your complex.
Yes.
Essentially, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, my production offices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just sort of said, what would you do?
Well, they were,
you know,
let's
if you
be
could
honest,
do anything, what would you do?
Let's be honest, they were not doing well. I mean,
sinking.
Ratings were in the tank.
When it was just music and no visual element at all,
People said, why not listen to the radio? At least that I can move around with.
Yes.
Exactly. Right, and televisions, you know, back then, now you can carry, we all carry televisions with us.
Everywhere so we go, it's true.
But back
I don't own a TV, but I see people who have them on them a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so back then, you can't carry a television around. So people would say, I have to go to the grocery store, but I still want to hear Robert Palmer.
That's right.
But so this is a problem. And so they came to me. Well, they came to my assistant.
Yes.
They called my assistant, who called my agent, who called another.
How is Drobny? Drobny, your assistant? Oh, yeah, are you still with him?
I had to let him go.
Ooh, hate when that happens.
So anyway, long story short, I finally got on the phone with them mm-hmm. and with MTV, and mm-hmm. they pleaded their case, and they said, look, we're in a pinch here.
Yes.
We need something. Mm-hmm. People are tired of carrying around their televisions. Mm-hmm. They're too big.
And this was before antennas are just getting longer and longer to the point that we can carry these with us.
Right.
To the store, like you were saying, we can take them in our cars.
They're huge. Right. And so what I did was I sat them down. I actually flew. They flew me out privately, even mm-hmm. though I've got my, you know, I've got my whole thing, my Cessna. It's
sure.
Gassed up, ready to go at all times. But they flew me to New York and they said, help us, lead us.
Right.
And they walked me right into a room and they said, there was a chalkboard and they said, draw what you think is the future. And
what did you draw, Damien?
I went up to the board and I drew my name.
You drew your name.
I drew my name.
Yeah.
And then I erased it.
Oh.
And I said, it's about the element of surprise.
Okay. I was going to say, did you like mess it up or spell it wrong?
I did.
A lot of times when I go to Starbucks, they'll spell my name wrong on my cup.
I love that.
Some funny ones have happened to me.
Damien, I've heard you say Damon sometimes.
Yeah, I'll get
just
Damon.
Just occasionally, yeah. Like when you're telling someone your name, you will mistake it for Damon.
Sometimes when I'm telling people my name, I will say Damon. I'll say David, sounds similar. I say Jamie. I also said Nathan once.
It's not an easy name.
I said it on the air. You know, for the first 4 years of TRL, everyone thought my name was Nathan Garbanzo because it just came out of my mouth.
Wow.
But then I watched the tapes and I realized that is not my name.
And that's something I wanted to talk about. Always watching your own work.
You have to.
What is the thrill? Mm-hmm. I can't put my finger on it, but what is it that's so thrilling about watching yourself host something or listening to your voice? Mm-hmm. I get home, I put on my podcast, I get down in the tub, and I've got a bottle of Chardonnay, and it's just me and my best friend me hanging out. And I can't imagine a more relaxing way to spend an evening. And Damien, like, what's your ritual? I gotta know.
It's really weird. When you were describing yours, it's almost a mirror image of what I do, except mine's a hot tub in my backyard.
Needs more room.
Needs a little bit more room. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do is I'll just go out there and, you know, obviously the wife will, she respects this ritual. It's a nightly thing. And she retreats to the basement where she's belongs. It's her space that I gave her. And I sit in that hot tub and I look up at the stars and I go, I feel so small down here, you know? And
then I hit
play and I go, oh, now right. I feel big again.
Yeah. All right. I'm, you know, one, I mean, of those.
Yes. I'm one of those. Because we're all, I don't know if you guys are hip on, you know, science and how that whole thing works, but mm-hmm. you know, we're stardust.
We're all made of stars.
We're all made of stars. And Moby sang that.
He did.
He came to me for the video actually. And I said, stars also means celebrities. It's another word for celebrities. Put celebrities in the video. Thanks, Moby. Wow.
What are some other videos that people came to you to me for?
With? Ooh, please do dish.
Well, I remember the first time, this is a little crazy because I do remember the first time Snoop and Dre rang me up.
Yeah.
And they said, we've got this great track. We've got this great track. We don't have much of a budget. And I said, but guys, you do have cars and you do have a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And hey, you also got big booty hoes.
Yeah.
And you taught them about sharking.
Yeah, which became
became something of a phenomenon.
A little bit, yeah.
Around the Long Beach community.
Yeah. Why don't you teach Engineer Frank about sharking right now, Damien?
Which one is Frank?
He's the...
Heavy set?
Yes, he's the less heavy set one.
Sharking is basically going out into the ocean and finding the biggest, baddest shark and fighting it to the death. Are you?
Does that make sense?
He's Frank? Nodding his head.
Okay, good.
I don't think Frank gets it, but I certainly do, and most of our listeners probably will.
And it could be a metaphor.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you make Total Request Lives, and you...
I created it.
Yes, you make that, and you are showing music videos, but there's still one ingredient missing, isn't there?
Yeah, well, we were showing the videos... And
isn't
we were,
there, Nathan?
It's not that anymore, but it... I understand why you'd say that, but it was 13-year-old girls is what I realized was the missing ingredient. So I said, fill the studio with 13-year-old girls and have them screaming for these artists that they enjoy.
Right.
And what I learned, this is so interesting because you would never know this unless I did this.
Right.
But 13-year-old girls are actually a lot more sexually mature.
See,
then we give them credit for as a society. And I'm not here to, I'm not talking about legality. The law is the law.
Yes.
We
operate within the law.
But Hayes and I have talked about this.
We've spent a little time talking about this. And just where they come up with this number 18.
Yes.
18,
you know?
You.
It's just like 1 and 8. Just like, where do they get just like these two numbers like out of the hat or something? Like, just like,
I think
it's just imaginary, you know?
It's probably the only case where random is bad. Because I always say random when I like something.
Right. Totally.
Comedy-wise. But in terms of just a random number, it's like, if you're going to pick any number... You know,
it just could have been any.
It could have easily been 13 or 15 or anything.
Right.
Because if you look at the science and when girls reach their peak of sexual productivity, and you know, like if we are trying to perpetuate the human race, I think we should look at the science every once in a while.
Yeah, we want to make more star stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you go back to ancient Rome, if you study the history books,
Hayes loves ancient Rome.
I've done a lot of reading about ancient Rome, and it was illegal then to have sex with a girl if she was over 15 years old.
Okay, and these guys built the aqueduct.
They built the aqueduct. You know, this is they founded democracy. We seem to think that was a pretty good idea. Why did we
still
choose
using
that one?
Right.
Instead of the other one.
So
you can't cherry pick.
It's just crazy. And if you read your Shakespeare, we're reading that in schools these days.
Hayes loves Shakespeare.
Juliet.
Yes.
That girl was 6 years old.
Right. And people don't get that.
And people, we just have these blinders on where we're like, oh, you know, that's true love, but only if she's some imaginary age.
Well, it's just, I've met, just in my travels, you know, just in my own life, personal experience, I've met 25-year-old women who have no right, who have no business being anywhere near a boudoir.
No.
They can't handle it. They can't handle the emotions involved. And by the same token, I've met girls who are, let's say, under 18, who, were they to so choose, they would be mature enough to handle that kind of thing. And so I just don't understand. It's like, why is it not case by case?
Right.
We're not saying that underage girls should be forced.
Right.
To have sexually, you know,
never
take it in, like,
never. No. Disgusting.
And the idea of doing that step all at once is crazy. It just, how would that even work?
No, you don't just jump in the deep end of the pool, you'll drown.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get our toesies wet. Let's get our toesies wet in the shallow end and say something like, okay, well, there's an interview or something that you go through, and we sort of give them a stamp or whatever, or a different colored bracelet they can, or a different colored bracelet they could wear that indicates, "Hey, I'm one of the ones who's sort of cool."
Yeah.
Now, Damon, you went through this discovery while you were hosting the show.
I did.
And I understand that events related to this decision you made sort of led to the end of the TRL show. And of showing music videos.
Well, let's be clear
on MTV.
Before I get torpedoed here by that line of questioning.
Sure.
First of all, people come up to me and apologize, and they feel bad that the show ended, and that, you know, I think they feel bad that I'm not on television anymore. But I feel like it's more of a selfish thing for them, because when I was on television, it was a very wonderful hour of looking at me, which was snatched from them, you know, quite suddenly, when I decided to end the show on my own accord.
Yes.
You want to, in this business, and yes, it's a business.
Entertainment.
Yes.
For the laymans out there who don't know, because if you don't know, don't judge. Mm-hmm. You have to go out on top.
Yes.
You have to go out on top. And I was standing on a pile of money. I was standing on a pile of women. And I just decided to pull the plug. I said, life is too good. It cannot get any better.
And people make a big deal about Vince Gillian doing what he did in ending Breaking Bad at sort of its peak. But it's like, it feels kind of like, where'd he get that idea? Oh, I don't know. Damien freaking did that.
Yes.
When he canceled TRL, when that was on top. And so that just makes me so mad sometimes at Vince Gillian when he's in those interviews and he's not saying that.
Now, you ended the show in 2009.
I did.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. You said at the time it was precipitated by Susan Boyle's song, and that being the end of music.
Yes, because an ugly woman cannot sound good.
Yes.
And do you understand that?
Yeah, I get it.
She was not attractive enough for me.
And that would change music in sort of a way that it wouldn't really be music anymore.
Well,
in terms of how you think of it.
You've got the voice. What's the concept behind that? Yes. I want to hear the voice before I see, so I don't judge.
Right.
Which is terrible, because that's why there haven't been many success stories. People want a pretty face. Mm-hmm. And Susan Boyle, God bless her, she comes from those stony fields of the UK, and I'm sure she can milk a cow really well with those big paws. But when it comes to singing on a stage, you leave that to the pros.
And all of the voice winners, let's be frank, have been hideous monsters.
Yes.
What a sick group of freaks.
And some of them much too old, some of them in their 30s.
Ugh.
When was the last time you saw a good-looking person in their 30s? It's 13, it's 14, it's 15, it's 16, it's not 17. It's 13 to 16 is the window that really gets me, America, going.
Yeah, assuming they're mature.
Right.
You know,
they've been stamped
internally. Because, I mean, I've in my own experience. I mean, just in conversation. I met very young people who feel much older. And I've also met older people who feel very young.
Let's cool down with a little trip into the popcorn gallery.
Yes, let's.
Let's reach inside, pull out a question. Here's a question for you, Damien, from a fan of either yours or ours.
It's probably mine.
His name is Scoops. And his question is, Damien, I understand your nickname is the D-Man. How can I get a cool nickname like this?
Well, Scoops is already pretty cool. You can't really do much with that. I could call you Coobs. I could call you Books. Mm-hmm. I could call you the S-Man. But at the end of the day, brother, you got to earn it.
And how? And would you say getting your own show on TV is a...
No, don't even try. It's not gonna happen for you.
That's helpful advice. We need to say that to more of our listeners. Is just, it's not gonna happen.
It's healthy to dream,
unless you are good.
Oh, if you're good, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're not good,
I can't tell you the number of people I see who aren't any good. I mean, just mind-blowing.
They're everywhere.
D-Man, do you come across that?
They're everywhere.
I'm always happy when I see them doing something like...
mopping floors.
Yes, if they're mopping up in a toilet room, then I go, okay.
I see some of these girls my daughter does tap with.
Oh, boy. Know?
It's like they let anyone onto the stage. Like, they do these recitals. And at the end, what do? They hand out the trophies. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody gets a trophy now.
And some of these girls are fucking shit at tap.
Yeah, but you can't say that because it's like the thing we said earlier.
And what's so dangerous about that, too, is you don't find out what you're good at if you get rewarded for every activity.
Yes, absolutely.
That's part of the reason that we actually have trophies mean something.
Now, calm down,
or used to.
Calm down.
But if I'd gotten a trophy for vacuuming floors, you know, I would, then that might have been what I pursued, but
you're no good at vacuuming floors, and
I'm terrible at it. No. I admit it, I can't do it.
Yes.
I don't have the vision for it, but I can make movies, I can star in movies, I can write movies, I can direct movies.
Here's a question, it's at the way bottom of the bag, let me just reach in and get it.
I know there's another piece in here. Yes.
This question is from Toby Keith Sweat. Damien, you were a guest on Cupcake Wars once. My question is, how did you keep from eating every friggin' cupcake in that joint?
Well, it wasn't easy, and who said I didn't?
Oh, slam dunk.
So,
Bazinga. It's the facial.
Let me just reach back in one more time for one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one is from Freya in Sweden. Damien,
off the bat, I already don't like your name.
Speak on that.
It's a sound. It's not a name.
Do you want to hear this question or just no?
I want to hear the last three words of it, and then I'll decide.
For each topping?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Well, D-Man, do you have anything exciting coming up that you want to talk to us about?
You guys know about the latest and greatest, which would be, you know, the movie, Russell Crowe and Daniel Day-Lewis.
They're directing you in a movie.
Yeah, it's all method, and I'm excited for it. Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know you've been in the lab for quite a while cooking up the concept, but if you could give us just one line of dialogue from the film, and don't worry that it's out of context. We know it's going to be rich. Mm-hmm. But if you could just give us one sentence from maybe the pivotal scene.
Of the movie.
Of the film, yes.
Let me just, do you guys mind if I could just go there? Because for me to recite, I need to really go there.
Yeah, sure.
I insist.
You're going to eat your shorts.
Guys, follow Damien on Twitter, @ Damien Fahey, this Twitter thing. Honestly, come, you know.
I mean, we're tweeting our lives away.
What is this? What is this?
I keep waiting to wake up and find out it was all a prank. Now, follow him on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Hey, like our Facebook page.
Yeah, go ahead and like our Facebook page.
We're doing some funny shit over there.
Yeah, there are some really funny Photoshops that we would really like you guys to see.
Yeah.
And if we see a funny thing on Facebook that we like, we will share it on our own page. Like, there are some of these things where, like, Willy Wonka is, like, his, fist on his head, and he's, like, being sort of, like, condescending. Which
yeah,
really
like, oh, really?
There's
like,
this friggin' cat. I don't want to, like, spoil it too much, but he's got something of an attitude.
I know which one.
I don't want to say what the attitude is, but...
He's not pleased.
He's not. I'll tell you he's not.
That's as much
as
we'll say.
That's enough.
Nothing else.
Please make sure to buy the pro version.
Oh, yes. That's important.
What are we offering in the pro version this week?
Well, this week you get a signed headphone cord from Hayes. It's very difficult to make out the signature. It is a black cord, and he did sign it with Sharpie marker. But one of Hayes' actual headphone cords that he wore during the recording of a podcast. And Damien announces you as the number one music video of 2009.
And the winner of last week's drawing from all the people who bought the pro version was Chanson. And so, Chanson, here is your prize.
Coming in at... Can you do like a little clap or like cheering
yes,
a little
sure.
bit so I can go there?
Get the... Woo!
All right, welcome back to Times Square. The number one video, boy, we got a lot of votes. It was a close one today between the Goo Goo Dolls, Iris, and, well, newcomer Chanson. Chanson, his latest at number one, and this is called, producer, what is it? What is it called? What is it? Bat Outta Hell 3, the Meatloaf continuation.
And we also want to say a loving goodbye to Engineer Frank, one of our favorite engineers. He is leaving you. I'm sure you'll
top
be hearing.
Three.
Definitely one of our top three engineers. I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of goodbyes as this month goes on, but he's going to be moving on to other opportunities. I will always remember at the beginning of one of our recordings, I think it was actually this recording, when Frank couldn't get the music to play, and it was because he had the input and output jacks confused.
I'll remember it differently. I'll always remember the time when we were recording with Frank. It may have actually been this recording, when he didn't know to lower the music so that we could talk over it, as we've done for basically the past 50 podcasts we've recorded. Just those little touches that you remember about someone when you work with them for this long. And we love you, Frank.
We love you, Frank. Everything going smoothly around here is going to be a difficult transition. And so
I have a hard out, by the way, just so you guys know. I know I didn't mention that in the email, but I've got about two more minutes.
Well, fucking take off then.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.